RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. No fewer than four people killed after severe spring weather hit Houston. Mayor John Whitmire says trees and power lines are down, windows blown out of high-rises by hurricane-force wind.
We had a storm with 100 miles per hour winds, the equivalent of Hurricane Ike.
900,000 homes and businesses, actually closer to a million homes and businesses, don't have electric power. Houston public schools closed today. As he said he would, President Biden's administration has started the process of getting marijuana off the Schedule 1 list of the most dangerous illicit substances and bumping it down to the less restrictive Schedule 3. Ben Crump, lawyer for the family of Roger Fortson, the Black Air Force senior airman shot and killed in his own apartment by an Okaloosa County, Florida deputy, says police radio traffic and body camera imagery reinforced their assertion the deputy was sent to the wrong apartment to investigate a disturbance. This is ABC News. Billionaire businessman and philanthropist Frank McCourt says he's putting together a consortium to purchase TikTok. He's the latest investor hoping to benefit from the law requiring TikTok to sell to a U.S.-approved owner or be banned. Former Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is among those who have expressed a desire to purchase the social media platform. Is a taco a sandwich? How about burritos? A judge in Indiana said yes.
The restaurant Famous Taco in Fort Wayne, Indiana, wanted to open another location, so they picked a place in a shopping center. But zoning restrictions in the area only allowed restaurants that prepared, quote, made-to-order Subway-style sandwiches. The restrictions were challenged and went to court, where Allen County Judge Craig Beaubay had his say, declaring that tacos and burritos are indeed, quote, Mexican-style sandwiches. And the zoning restrictions couldn't favor only American-style cuisine. If a Greek gyro place or a Vietnamese banh mi shop wanted to open, that would also be allowed.
ABC's Jason Nathanson. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I like using credit cards for my daily spending, but that's not right for everyone. Ask yourself, do you pay off your entire bill every month? I mean, the whole thing, not just the minimum. If you do, nice. Credit cards are working for you. You could be earning some cash back or points. But if you're not paying them off, well, then you are working for the credit card. You are definitely paying too much interest on what you're borrowing, and that points and cash math, yeah, that's never going to work in your favor. But hey, if that's your situation, don't get down on yourself. A lot of us have been there too. My tip, it's not rocket surgery. Stop spending on those cards until you pay your balances off. It'll take some effort and a good plan. I've got a video to help you out. Search for Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY to 88285. That's MONEY to 88285. I'm Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Take good care.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris back in Wisconsin Thursday. She spoke to black voters in Milwaukee about the administration's efforts to create economic opportunity.
You see the signs around Milwaukee and around our country brought to you by the Biden-Harris administration, and you see a crane and you see shovels in the ground.
Harris also talked about forgiving student loan and medical debt and improving access to housing. The Green Bay Packers will play at least five games on national primetime TV this football season. The NFL released its regular season schedule Wednesday night. The Packers will open the season with a game in Sao Paulo, Brazil on Friday, September 6, and they'll host a game on Thanksgiving night. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
A new beginning for the Phoenix. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The UW Green Bay Phoenix made an unusual hire this week when they named Doug Gottlieb their new head basketball coach. Gottlieb says he'll continue his daily national radio sports talk show while coaching the team. UWGB athletic director Josh Moon.
Again, he's won in everything he's done. You know, building a media career and then balancing that with how much exposure this university's got in the last day. It says a lot. So he's going to have to figure that balance out. So, and then what is he going to stop doing? That's his challenge, but you know, we believe he can figure it out.
Baseball, the Brewers face the Astros in Houston tonight. Pat Murphy asked how Joey Ortiz, nicknamed Tito, is doing at third base.
Yeah, I feel like Tito's taking that step, you know, to being an everyday player. You know, I really do. You know, when he swings at a breaking ball in the dirt, I want to tase him. You know, I don't know if that's legal, but...
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, we'll see a clear to mostly clear sky and lower 50s by daybreak. Light winds across the area. On Friday, plentiful sunshine will be found. Light south winds of 5 to 10. The afternoon high topping out in the upper 70s to near 80. It's 50 at our studios.
Crude and Dom.
Crude and Rich are doing it live this Friday, a special Barron Trump graduation edition. Call in with your grievances, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome, welcome. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. We are broadcasting live statewide here in Wisconsin on a beautiful, almost summer night. Summer is looming. It's a gorgeous night here in downtown Green Bay from our WGBW studios. Great fun on the show tonight. We are going to cover a couple of different topics that we'll focus on. And we will, of course, open it up to you, the listener, and try to get your thoughts on all things Nightlight tonight. My guests are at 7:35. I welcome John Davies. He is a producer, a very successful TV producer and film producer. And he shared with me a couple really, really cool documentaries that he's made in the last few years that I will recommend highly at some point this evening, probably more than once. John, I want to say he got his career started as Siskel and Ebert, one of the producers on the Siskel and Ebert show. So I definitely want to ask him about Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert, two legends in the film critic biz. But John will be along at 7:35. He made a great documentary called Funny Business. You can find it on the Google, P-H-U-N-N-Y, Business, Funny Business, that was set in, or tells the story of Chicago's first black comedy club called All Jokes Aside, that was located in the South Loop in Chicago. And some of my friends are featured in it that worked the club. It gave a start to comedians like Bernie Mac, Steve Harvey, D.L. Hewley, Jamie Foxx. They all came through this club. It was black owned, black run, and probably 90% of the comedians that were there were black. And John got all of them, or many of them, to sit down and talk to him and made a really, really fun documentary. I was really blown away by it. I just watched it yesterday. He also made a film called Lincoln is Crying about the corruption in Illinois politics, which also is quite funny. So John will be along at 7:35. Mike Clemens, we rescheduled Mike from last night. He will be here tonight to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. And apparently he just watched a new Seinfeld film. Listen to me trying to tease Conrad. Like, we've talked about Unfrosted like five nights. Like, people don't know what I'm talking about. Mike watched Unfrosted. He will give us his thoughts on Unfrosted as well. But it's good to see Mike is back in action. I guess he had some health issues yesterday. And I'm glad he's back. He will be here at 8:35 tonight, right after the news. So we have, this is a big night here at Nightlight. Let's address the elephant in the room. Conrad. And in no way is that a shot at your humongous ears. No. This is your last night for a while, buddy.
Yes, it is.
How are you feeling? Are you feeling a little bittersweet? Are you anxious for a break? All of the above? What are you looking at here?
You know, all the above, you know.
You son of a... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
you know, it's a trip, once in a lifetime trip. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, yeah, no, that'll be really cool.
I'll miss working.
Tell the people where you're headed again.
Yeah, I'm heading to Italy, going on a 2-week cruise.
That's so cool. Yep. And you're gonna go there. You're gonna fly there from
Chicago.
Chicago. You're driving to Chicago. You get on a flight.
9-hour flight.
9-hour flight.
Nonstop.
Are you sitting by people in your family on the flight?
Yep.
Were you able to swing that?
Yep.
Okay. And how many of you guys are going? Just the four of you?
Let's see.
Or extended family. Is Aunt Carla going?
No, she is not.
Oh, man. Good. She can still text.
I think there's 10 going, I believe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's the four of my family and then my brother, my sister-in-law, her family is going as well.
Okay. Your brother's married?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this was supposed to be for a wedding.
Yep.
That is not going to happen now, but you still had the trip booked.
Yeah, I had the trip booked. No, we're just like, let's make it a cruise.
That is fantastic. Well, you're going to have a blast.
Oh, yeah.
And,
you know, I'm going to go to some of the shows, you know, the comedy shows on the.
Are you real? Oh, yeah.
I have to. You know, I'm going to heckle them too.
We just talked about that quite a bit. Who are we talking to? Is it Rob Pirovanian or Rob?
Breckenridge.
Rob Breckenridge said he had done stand up on cruise ships.
I'm just going to go in there to heckle. That's it.
Just go cut them. Just laugh, even if you don't
I'm excited to see some entertainment on board.
Yeah.
I believe Wicked is the musical.
Are you kidding me? They're showing Wicked?
I believe so.
Is it like a live performance of Wicked on a cruise?
Yeah.
Those things look so immense. Like, when I see those commercials, I don't know what keeps that thing up. And I'm not saying this to scare you. Just saying.
Oh, thanks, Pete.
How on earth?
I'm going to get there and be like, I don't want to go on this death trap now. Pete told me not to.
Listen, just whatever you do, if they're showing Titanic on the ship, that's a problem. But I don't think you know.
Yeah, that would
that would just be bad business. Yeah. People would be running for the lifeboats. No, it's going to be great. Those things. You wouldn't catch me dead on one of those things. But no, I'm just kidding. No, you're going to have a blast. That's going to be a lot of fun, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Definitely.
You got to take some pictures. You should send little video clips or pictures to Nightlight so we can hear your voice periodically, just like a 20-second voice clip. You know, and we'll play it. That could be really fun.
You know what sucks is, not that I would be on my phone a lot or anything, but I only have 150 minutes of free Wi-Fi on board.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that? Oh, is it like
You know, they probably want to make you pay for more Wi-Fi, you know? But yeah, don't
Who's
get free
your
Wi-Fi. Verizon.
Okay, so you get 150 minutes.
Well, no, that's on the boat. The internet on the boat is 150 minutes.
Oh, it's the internet on the boat. They're the ones that regulate it. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, that sounds fun. Well, I think you could take a few of those minutes and send us a quick video file.
Yeah, hey,
this is Conrad. I'm alive and well. I'm playing shuffleboard on the Lido deck.
They have ping pong. I'll be playing some ping pong.
Do they have pickleball? That is my question.
No.
Oh, come on.
I didn't know you turned into a pickleball head.
You know, I've been playing, fun fact for you, I've been playing pickleball probably since 08. Not like religiously, not like it's my game, but my mom got into pickleball and set up a court in her driveway.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And, you know, we've been playing and it's a really fun game. And now it's like exploded. There's like a pickleball TV network and there's kids in the inner city doing pickup pickleball.
Yeah.
Hoops is out, man. Basketball's done.
Yeah, man.
It's pickleball. They walk around with their paddles and their little wiffle balls. I'll play you. You're on. And then they go at it.
So it's going to be the NPA soon, not the NBA.
That's correct. The National Pickleball Association. Yeah, that's fun. So we'll miss you, but we'll get along here without you somehow. I think Todd Phillips.
You have some great producers helping you out.
We do. They've learned a lot from you. And
well, I think it's the other way around, but
hey, today is National Classic Movie Day. That's kind of cool. And that is something here on Nightlight that we just have to celebrate. So our question tonight, what's your favorite classic movie? Now I know this is kind of vague and ambiguous, like classic. It's a, It's subjective and it's relative. Whatever you think is a classic, you can share. What is your favorite classic movie? Very simple question tonight. Very straightforward. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. Man, we have had we almost have had trouble getting to our texts the last few nights. It's so great how many people have been just kind of listening to the show and commenting. I love that. All right. So you ready for this? Last night, I drove here. I stopped at my gas station to get a seltzer water for the drive down. It's a long commute for me. And I told you about the woman who said people don't stop at that gas station unless they see her car parked there.
Yeah.
As the cashier. She's a draw. Today, I pull in the same gas station, and I'm right near the city of Peshtigo here in our beautiful state. It says, City of Peshtigo, building permits required.
Really?
That's on their sign. What? You know, most cities have like a slogan or something, the friendly people, whatever. Building permits required. Don't even think about coming into our city and trying to erect a structure without acquiring a permit first. That's on their sign. This is obviously a problem they felt needed addressing with signage right when you pull into town.
Maybe that is their slogan.
Maybe it is. You see a bunch of people with tool belts on rolling in, and I don't know if I recognize those guys. Building permits required. Oh, yeah, and welcome. I got to get to the bottom of that. I probably could track down the, you know what? Conrad, take a memo.
Sounds good.
Your last memo before your trip.
Well, there's still a lot of show left.
Got a lot to get to. Yeah, it's true. I'm sure I'll think of another memo. But let's get the power that be in Peshtigo on the phone. We got to talk about this. Building permits required. That's the first impression on County B. So that'll be fun. Just want to let you guys know, too. And I think you know this by now, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. Great little joint. Highly recommend it. Love the ambiance. Great beer. Great soda, too. We talked about that last night. Conrad, are you ready to take some texts tonight?
Yes, and we already have some texts rolling in here.
We do. All right. Well, in that case, let's get to those. You tell people how they can watch on the stream, how they can watch the radio.
Yeah, so on Facebook, we're under Nightlight with Pete Schwabe or WGBW. Okay.
Take your time.
WGBW.
You're so excited to get on that ship, aren't you?
YouTube, we're under Civic Media's YouTube channel, and Twitter or X, WGBW. So
check us out. Give us a like if you're there. We're not going to turn that down. That's always fun. And hey, folks, if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app, I highly recommend it. It's so easy. Take us with you wherever you go. You get all the Civic Media shows. It's so easy to text. Nightlight is on statewide, so you just click on the little text icon and you can let us know what you're thinking, what your thoughts are on the show as we progress. So what is your favorite classic movie, folks? It's National Classic Movie Day. What better question on Nightlight than what's your favorite classic movie? John Davies, famous TV producer, coming up at 7:35, and the equally as famous Mike Clemens in hour number two. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Don't forget your sunscreen. It's true. You should be protecting your skin year-round, even in Wisconsin. But did you know spring is actually the peak time that you're at risk for getting a sunburn? Here's why. UV rays are more intense in the spring, even before temperatures warm up. And second, it's all due to the angle of the sun. UV radiation strengthens as the sun reaches a more direct angle. This happens throughout May and into June, leading up to the summer solstice on June 21st. A good reminder to be sunny weather ready, even if there's still some springtime cool outside. So slap that sunscreen on. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Ladies and gentlemen, the night is lit. Our question tonight, what's your favorite classic movie? From the 608, Robert from McFarland says, Bon Voyage Conrad. I have not seen that movie. I could see them turning that into a movie, though. Conrad's Goodbye. That has like a kind of a cool 60s title to it. So Robert will miss you, Conrad. From the 773, Catherine. We know Catherine.
Yeah.
Fred Klett does boats. He does. Fred is, I think, is a good friend of mine. He owes me 2 phone calls. I always thought Fred and I were tight. Pardon me, Fred, if you're listening, challenge, my friend. You got to call me, man. I try to get Fred at this fundraiser I do. And we kept trying to connect in the last 2 years. I never even heard back from him. But Fred and I used to work the road together. We had a blast. We got our wallets stolen in, where was that? Devil's Lake, North Dakota or Grand Forks? Fred kind of blamed me for that somehow. It was the first time he met me. I was the opener. Apparently, he thought I had a side hustle going, stealing wallets at the YMCA in North Dakota. I would love to get Fred on the show, too. So, Fred, if you're listening, you might get lucky, Conrad. Fred is hilarious. If he's the comic, you're doing okay on this cruise.
Sounds good.
But tell him I got a beef with him. Tell him I challenge a thumb war challenge.
I'll be like, hey, do you remember Pete Schwabba? Well, he's got beef with you.
And if his brow just, like, furrows, he gets a vein. It's that wallet-stealing son of a... Catherine says he's a clean comedian. You could play on the air. That is true. Fred is hilarious and always worked clean. Filthy offstage. Pornographic downright. But no, I'm just kidding. Fred's a great guy. And he is a Milwaukee guy, one of Wisconsin's own. From the 814, Jameson says, 2001, A Space Odyssey and The Godfather. Maybe the best American piece of cinema ever. Pardon me. You are not alone there, Jameson. A lot of people say that. A lot of people say Godfather 2. Is even better. I'm not one of those people. You could make an argument for either, but that's a great choice. Jameson continues, says, Ed Kurosawa's Seven Samurai. I've heard that too. I've never seen it, but a lot of people, that's on their list. Robert says, Good Morning Vietnam is my favorite classic movie. No one better than Robin Williams. Him and Forrest Whitaker were a great pair. I like Robin Williams. I love Forrest Whitaker. In fact, he's in The Crying Game. His part in The Crying Game is not that big. He's telling Stephen Ray about his girl. And his acting, he's just so brilliant. He is such a brilliant actor. And let's not forget, he was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, too, which that's one of my favorite classic movies. All right, we got a caller, according to Conrad.
Yes, we do. It's Mark from the SAC.
Mark from the SAC. It's been a while, buddy. How are you, Mark?
Yeah, doing okay. And you made that comment about the up in Peshtigo, the sign saying, you know, the building permits required.
Yeah.
For some reason, that keyed in my head. I can remember a cartoon. I can't remember which cartoon it was. But they all kind of handbills getting posted up on the wall that was there. I don't know if it was Underdog or that. But it was postal bills. It was the handbill that was going up on the wall. And for some reason, you made that comment there. And for some reason, that popped into my head. I mean, I don't know when I thought of that in the past, if I ever really did. But for some reason, you made that comment about building permits required. And we've all seen those signs someplace or another. But for some reason, you said that right there. It popped that image up in my head. And it's not really clear. But
Mark, the reason Nightlight exists is to trigger beautiful memories in people's lives. And I'm glad that we provided that service to you tonight, my friend. That's hilarious. Yeah,
it's kind of funny. I mean, that you know, things that trickle back in your head from childhood days. I can remember, you know, I'm probably a little older than you, but the old Captain Kangaroo had a little cartoon on there called Tom Terrific.
Oh yeah,
and the villain there was Krabby Appleton. He had his little song, you know, that His name was Crabby Appleton. He was rotten to the core. Each deed, he does a bad deed, maybe three or four.
The post no bills is great, though, because it's like, and maybe that's how they used to do it back then. Who posts bills? Hey, you got to pay this. Like, it's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, I think they're talking about handbills. I mean, that, you know, it's because the posters go up on the walls. And, of course, there's a poster going up on the wall saying post no bills on the wall. So
okay.
Maybe that's what it was. So
fair enough.
But anyway, but thanks for kicking that into my head. I mean,
yeah, you got it, Mark. And if whatever you do, do not roll into Peshtigo and try to erect some sort of structure without a permit. I cannot stress that enough. Have a great night, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, brother.
You got okay, it. Bye-bye. That's Mark from the SEC. So, Conrad, we also have, God, there's so much going on. This is the anniversary, actually, of the first Academy Awards were held in Hollywood on this day in 1929.
Wow.
How about that, huh?
How about that?
Not to be outdone, in 1965, SpaghettiOs were sold for the first time. So, big day all around. Have you ever had a SpaghettiO? You're kind of young.
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, I've had a SpaghettiO.
How disgusting are those?
It, you know, honestly, when it when you see it out of the can, when you first open it, it seems disgusting. When you actually eat it, it's like...
It's even worse.
It could be worse.
What do you... Yeah.
It could be tuna in a can.
You're fresh out of college. I mean, is this like after bar food for you?
No.
No, you're eating it seriously, like as a meal.
It would be ramen.
Yeah.
That's that. The after That's like, bar food.
Ramen is like Ruth Chris compared to SpaghettiOs.
Ramen's just great. There's so much sodium in it, though.
Fair enough. Did you know there are 18 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame where people only are identified by one name? Some of them include Houdini, Appleton native, Liberace, Ludacris, Pink. Pink has a star. That's interesting. Actually, Pink and Ludacris. They're both pretty young.
That is Ludacris.
Yeah, that is Ludacris. Correct. Roseanne, Shakira, / Sting, Usher, and Conrad. Oh, Conrad's with a C, though. That's not rats. So that's kind of cool. Hey, today was also the movie Attack of the Clones was released today, right?
Yep.
Do we have time? We have a quick clip of Attack of the Clones?
Sure, yeah. This is when Anakin and Padme first start kind of like...
Oh, nice. Love it. This is great.
I don't know.
Sure you do. You just don't want to tell me.
You're going to use one of your Jedi mind tricks on me?
They only work on the weak-minded.
All right. I was 12. His name was Paolo. We were both in the legislative youth program. He was a few years older than I. Very cute. Dark curly hair, dreamy eyes.
All right, I get the picture. Whatever happened to him?
I went into public service. He went on to become an artist.
Maybe he was the smart one.
You really don't like politicians, do you?
I like two or three. But I'm not really sure about one of them. I don't think the system works.
How would you have it work?
We need a system where the politicians sit down and discuss the problem, agree what's in the best interest of all the people, and then do it.
That's exactly what we do. The trouble is that people don't always agree.
Well, then they should be made to.
By whom? Who's gonna make them?
I don't know. Someone.
You?
Of course not me.
But someone.
Someone wise.
Sounds an awful lot like a dictatorship to me.
Well, if it works.
You're making fun of me.
No, I'd be much too frightened to tease a senator.
A little foreshadowing there.
Right.
I mean, Hayden Christensen gets a bad rap. I didn't think he was that bad.
He was great in that.
In that movie?
In all of them.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite actors when I was growing up was him.
He was one of your favorite actors growing up?
Because I love Star Wars so much.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, he's good. He took a lot of flack. I thought he was fine. From the 608, Robert McFarlane says, SpaghettiOs are still made. Wow. I'll take his word for it. John Davies is coming up next, and he is going to discuss his awesome career. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. No fewer than four people killed after severe spring weather hit Houston. Mayor John Whitmire says trees and power lines are down, windows blown out of high-rises by hurricane-force wind.
We had a storm with 100 miles per hour winds, the equivalent of Hurricane Ike.
900,000 homes and businesses, actually closer to a million homes and businesses, don't have electric power. Houston public schools closed today. As he said he would, President Biden's administration has started the process of getting marijuana off the Schedule 1 list of the most dangerous illicit substances and bumping it down to the less restrictive Schedule 3. Ben Crump, lawyer for the family of Roger Fortson, the Black Air Force senior airman shot and killed in his own apartment by an Okaloosa County, Florida deputy, says police radio traffic and body camera imagery reinforced their assertion the deputy was sent to the wrong apartment to investigate a disturbance. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Guaranteed income programs are controversial in some circles, but research shows they're working. They give cash to low-income households with no strings attached. Rachel Barnhart is with a nonprofit that facilitates these programs around the country. A study by the Urban Institute looked at how that money is spent in Austin, Texas.
A majority of the cash payments was spent on housing, and we saw an increase in housing stability.
Madison had a privately funded guaranteed income program in 2022 and 23. A Wisconsin emergency room doctor is a recent four-time winner on Jeopardy and headed to the game show's Tournament of Champions. Dr. Amy Hummel's episodes aired in late April and early May. She won $101,000. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Netflix has announced a new Kathryn Bigelow project at the Upfronts in New York on Wednesday. The 72-year-old award-winning Bigelow has directed thrillers Zero Dark Thirty and The Hurt Locker, but she has not directed a film since 2017's Detroit. The project is still currently untitled. Sticking with Netflix news, it's official. There will be a sequel. Happy Gilmore 2 is a go. The network used the Upfronts for this announcement as well. The news comes after months of speculation and rumors and hints dropped by various Happy Gilmore 1 cast members. Unfortunately, it will not star Adam Sandler. Ha! Just kidding. The first film was released in 1996 and followed Sandler's character, a hockey player with anger issues who turns to golf. Chris McDonald is expected to return as golfer Shooter McGavin. This will be Sandler's ninth project with the streaming service. Here's hoping there will never be a sequel to Uncut Gems. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are heading into a fantastic weekend. Today it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 79 this afternoon. Tonight, clear 55. Tomorrow, sunshine 84. Then on Sunday, more sunshine with a high right around 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
We have touched a nerve with some listeners. Robert's on fire tonight. From the 608 in McFarland, he says, Hayden Christensen is a whiny little bee. What does he mean by bee, Conrad?
Baby.
Bird? Oh, okay, baby. I thought something else, but yeah, I'm kind of in the middle on Hayden Christensen. I don't think he was as bad as people say he was. And he's actually done a couple things since then where he's been pretty good. Like, I think he became a better actor as he got older. But
see, when I watched the movies, I didn't get into that drama really because I was pretty young still.
You were pretty young. You're just watching whatever they throw in front of you like we do when we're kids. Absolutely. Yeah. Bridget from the 818 says, Gone with the Wind. It's a Wonderful Life. Or she says, my mom likes Gone with the Wind. Grandma Peg. It's a Wonderful Life for me. Okay, those are two. I would say after Citizen Kane. Robert just clarified what B stood for, and I don't think I can read that on the air. I think after Citizen Kane, Gone with the Wind is considered, and The Godfather maybe, one of the best movies of all time. So those are great classics. You can get in on the fun if you like. It's National Classic Movie Day. What is your favorite classic movie? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We will have, hopefully, John Davies in just a few minutes here to talk about his career and some of the really cool documentaries he's made. And I want to ask him about his time at Siskel and Ebert. He's got a lot of stories to share. I saw this. It was Nikki Glaser responding to Kim Kardashian after the Tom Brady roast. Have you seen the whole thing, Conrad?
Yeah, I actually watched it live.
Oh, you watched it live. All right. Yeah. What were your overall thoughts on it?
Yeah, I thought it was a good roast. I thought it was hilarious. I thought Kevin Hart did a great job hosting of it.
Yeah.
I thought my favorite parts wasn't even the roast on Tom Brady. It was the roast on Rob Gronkowski. All the jokes were so funny.
Right. Well, we're going to ask, Mike Clemens wants to talk about the roast too. And it is sort of like the gift that keeps on giving. It was already a week and a half ago now. And I kind of feel like Nikki Glaser is a great comedian, but I kind of feel like she's being a little bit seduced by the popular girl here with Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian messaged Nikki Glaser about abuse after the brutal Tom Brady roast. They swapped texts, and she said, oh, if she wanted to hang out, I totally would have. Like, comedians are supposed to be, especially at a roast, you're not supposed to be that easily seduced by the popular crowd. Just my opinion. She's a great comic. Much more talent, and brings much more talent and creativity to the table than Kim Kardashian ever has or ever will, in my opinion. We'll continue this. Mike Clemens, I know, is going to weigh in on this. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a very successful TV producer who I had the privilege of talking on the phone with a couple weeks ago, and I thought, I got to get this guy on the show. His name is John Davies, and he is a writer, producer, director, and he's been in show business even longer than I have, and it's great to have him here on Nightlight. John, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is all ours. I did watch, you shared a couple links with me. I watched them both. I got through both of them at the expense of being called a bad father by my daughter. But no, I'm just kidding. They were great. And we'll talk about both of them. But you have, before we start, I just want to, you were introduced to me also, I should mention, by Gordy Young, who is the one half of the morning team here on Civic Media and our Madison station with John Peterson. Great guy.
Yes, I've known Gordy since I was a child.
Wow. And you guys are still in touch.
Yeah. Again, still really close. Good friends. Talk all the time.
That says a lot about both of you, I think. That's pretty cool. So how did you get involved in this racket? Before we jump into your specific projects, what made you go into this line of work?
Well, when Gordy and I were in high school, we both needed some kind of job. And we ended up hearing about this place called AVID, Audiovisual Institute of DuPage County. And what it was the place, you know, when your teacher in high school was kind of lazy and they wanted to show a movie, instead of teach the class.
I love those days. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so we worked at the company that kept those films working. We fixed them when they were put on the projector incorrectly, and the teeth of the projector would chew up the audio track and all that. So we maintained those films. We cut out bad sections, put in good sections, and we worked at that job every Friday and Saturday. And we got all of our friends in there, and all of our friends also happened to be in a band we had put together. So we were in this band together, and we were working at Audio Visual Institute of DuPage County and kind of having the time of our lives. And, you know, we were unsupervised, which was a big mistake by that company. So there was all kinds of shit going on. But, you know, the big thing was that that's where Gordy and I developed an interest in audio video. You know, and so we ended up making the senior movie for our high school class. They had a budget line saying, would somebody want to make a senior movie about our class? So we came up with a thin storyline and we shot it. And we've recently found it and had it turned into DVDs, and we handed them out to all of our classmates recently.
Oh, no way.
The one thing that we did back then, which I realize now was really smart of us, was what do you put in the senior movie? Everybody you can.
Right.
Because they want to see themselves.
Absolutely.
And we were really glad that they were all standing there going, oh my God, there's Mark, there's Nancy, there's Carolyn. You know, so they got a huge kick out of it. And that was the beginning of Gordy and I starting to make stuff and having it projected and seen by people.
That's so great. Just a quick reminder, John, and it's not a big deal, but we are on live radio. This isn't just a podcast. So just we're broadcasting over the state of Wisconsin.
Oh,
so.
Yes, the language, sure.
No worries, though. Don't worry. I probably should have told you that beforehand.
And then just one other quick thing. What that did for Gordy and I was, of course, we were thinking, boy, this would be a great business to be in. And one day we were sitting in my home, this is in Wheaton, Illinois, on the couch with my dad, and we were watching the Jerry Lewis Telethon, which in those days was hosted by a guy in downtown Chicago, Channel 32. And he used to play the Svengoolie character. This is Son of Svengoolie. This is the original guy. And he's on the Jerry Lewis Telethon. There's Playboy Bunnies on it, and Fahey Flynn, and all these media stars. And he says, we could do with some more phone answerers down here at the Windy City, down here at the at Marina City. And so Gordy and I looked at each other and said, let's get on the train and go down there. And my dad was like, they're never going to put you two on TV. Well, they did.
Wow.
And Gordy and I went downtown. We got on the Jerry Lewis Telethon. I'm remembering the guy's name now. It was Jerry G. Bishop. And he was the original Svengoolie, a Channel 32 guy. And Gordy and I are sitting there. We're on camera with Fahey Flynn, George Maharis, who was a Hollywood star from a famous TV show called Route 66. Playboy Bunnies were taking our pledges because people were calling in money for muscular dystrophy, right?
Yeah.
So Gordy and I remember being on the train with him afterwards, and we were starstruck. And we just said to each other, whatever that was that we just experienced there, we want more of that in our life. And that was our introduction to television.
That is so, I love stories like that, John, where there is a moment where you know you're going to be a musician, a comedian, an actor, whatever. That is a great story. Wow, that's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. That's terrific. And it's kind of like leads into my next question. When you decided that, what did you want to do? Write, direct, produce? Did you know right away, or did you kind of fall into it?
Well, you know, I kind of knew I was an in-charge kind of guy, so I knew I'd sort of be a producer or a director or something. I never saw myself as the talent. I saw myself as this producer-director guy because I was a little bit of a control freak, and, you know, I wanted to make the movie more than be in the movie.
Right.
And you know, Gordy had ambitions in both sides of the camera. He obviously, he wanted to be a musician. He wanted to be on stage. He wanted to be on camera. I wanted to be more behind the camera. And if you look at our careers, that's how it turned out. He ended up for 25 years in Northwest Indiana, you know, TV personality of the year and all that. And I ended up as a producer director, you know, first in Chicago and then later in LA. So we both kind of got our dream, but yeah, I realized I wanted to make my own stuff. Even when I was in Hollywood and I was there for 32 years, I really didn't like working on other people's shows. I had to be the guy who created them.
It's pretty amazing just looking at your IMDb page, how you've been able to do that. Because that, one of my questions for you was, as a producer, I was primarily a writer. I had to like scratch and claw for every gig I had. As a producer, once you make something and you've got great credits, you've won awards, do people come to you? Is it easier to get that work, or do you feel still like you're always in a hustle?
Well, people soon realize, I mean, I ended up with representation in Hollywood. I was represented by the Brillstein Gray Company, Bernie Brillstein, Brad Gray, and they're really powerful. So people were always coming to them saying, we need a producer to do this. And they would offer me a lot of things, but I would basically say, you know, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to be a writer in Ellen's room coming up with ideas that Ellen could do. I wanted to create the Ellen show, you know? Right. So I turned down a lot of that stuff. And so I would go and pitch. I pitched at every network, and I pitched on a regular basis. And I got taught how to pitch by a guy named Jerry Abrams. He was J.J. Abrams' father.
Oh, wow.
And Jerry had made like 140 movies of the week, and he had sold them all himself.
Wow.
And he was an incredible network pitcher. And when I first went to work for Jerry, he would come with me to the networks, and he would listen to me pitch. And after about 10 times, he said, you know, you've got the gift of the gab, John. I don't need to come with you. You know what you're doing. Just, you know, stay pitching. And Jerry would have me pitching every week. So I had a high percentage of no's, but I got enough yeses, and I sold enough stuff that I was able to survive out there.
What was it like working with Siskel and Ebert? What exactly was your role? I know you were in some type of producerial role. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I had been on the crew at WTTW, the documentary crew, and I had met them originally when they wanted us to shoot a field piece with Gene and Roger called How We Review a Movie. And it was basically spend a day with them. And we shot this on film, 16 millimeter film, spend a typical day with Siskel and Ebert. So we followed them all day. We went to the Chicago Theater with them. We saw that they watched two or three movies a day. We saw that they buy popcorn, pizza, food. They eat in this private screening room. They watch the movie. And so that show aired, and that's where I first met them. And I realized, God, I'd love to work with these guys. I'd love to work on this show. I had to threaten to quit Channel 11 before they gave me the opportunity to cross over from crew guy to associate producer. But I turned my resignation in, and they were having the going away party for me. And I heard myself paged to the general manager's office. And I went to his office. His name was Bill McCarter, kind of a legendary guy in public TV. And he said, John, why are you leaving us? And I said, because I don't see any opportunity to cross over to become a producer. And he said, oh, go have your vacation. Come back in 2 weeks. I'll make you the associate producer of Sneak Previews. And he did.
Wow.
So I went to my family holiday. My parents are British, so it was in London. I went to my family holiday. My mother was so grateful because she didn't want to have to tell the relatives I was unemployed. And so I came back, and I started working as the associate producer with Siskel and Ebert. I was on the show for a little over a year when one day Gene said to me, hey, listen, keep this under wraps, but we're going to be leaving here. We've accepted another deal at another place. And that was the deal they made with Tribune Entertainment. And he said, John, I'm sorry, you know, we're not going to be able to take you with us. Oh. We're going to take Nancy De Los Santos, because she had been there a long time and I was the newcomer. Okay. But I knew before they even told the general manager they were leaving. So I remember the day that went down when the general manager said, hey, you know, we'd really love you guys to stay. And they were like, well, thank you for that minuscule increase in salary you just offered, but we've already signed with Tribune Entertainment. And if you think about this, they went from Tribune, then they went to Disney. These guys were making $1 million a year as movie critics.
Yeah.
That is never going to happen again. I mean, ever. And the thing that WTTW didn't realize is, like, this was now the number one show on public TV. Every Thursday when I would come into the station, there'd be people from the New York Times in the lobby wanting to interview them, from USA Today, from all these papers and magazines all over the country. And somehow the management at WTTW just didn't seem to grasp that, hey, the talent's bigger than you guys.
And you were there to witness it. My guest is John Davies. We'll have more with John. I'm going to ask him about another really cool documentary I just watched that he made. That's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here she comes now.
Walking with the love for the love. Let's hope don't find.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It is National Classic Movie Day today. That's our question tonight. What is your favorite classic movie? Got some great ones so far. Aunt Carla just checked in and said, I love classic movies and watching Turner classic movies. Many favorites. The Man Who Knew Too Much. Some Like It Hot. Bus Stop. So many more. Mildred Pierce. I could go on and on. Tell Aunt Carla she needs to go on and on. Kind of need to hear more. My guest is John Davies. He is a TV producer, documentarian. He's done some really cool stuff. John, I thought I was going to talk comedy next with you. I want to talk about the other documentary you shared first. It's your documentary, the Corruption in Illinois. Your hometown is Chicago. That's my hometown. This documentary, Lincoln is Crying, how long did that take to put together? And you have so many interviews with so many people talking about corruption. I don't know how you got it into an hour and 25 minutes.
Well, it could have been a 10-part series. Believe me, there's so much corruption, you know. I literally, we had to cut whole sections out because the supply of corrupt Illinois politicians is so heavy duty that, you know, we decided to make a rough cut, and it was 3 hours long. And I just said to my partner, Brian Callies, there's no way people are going to stay with this story for 3 hours. It's just too depressing. But that also pushed us into finding a comedic angle. And we really loved what we came up with is we cast David Pasquese, who is a wonderful Second City trained guy, the number one voiceover artist in Chicago, but he's also had quite a career in LA. He's been on all kinds of shows out there, a lot of work with Amy Sedaris and on Veep and all kinds of shows.
Great actor.
We cast him to play Abe Lincoln's great, great, great grandson, a fictional character. And he narrates the whole thing. And we were able to give him a lot of humorous things to toy with in that role, because we realized no one's going to watch this. It's too depressing.
Right.
Unless we add a little humor to it. And I think we did that successfully. We brought Tim Kazurinsky in too. We used Mike Haggerty, another Second City legend who unfortunately just passed away.
Yeah. But
your viewers and listeners would all know him from, oh my God, HBO shows and Friends.
We were just talking about him on Friends. He was Mr. Trigger. He played the building custodian. Mike is just a legend. That was surprising. He must have moonlighted as a political junkie, I'm guessing, for you to use him.
I had known him for years, and he had done a show with me many years ago. I had actually cast him when Siskel and Ebert, I'll just say this real quick.
Yeah.
When they left the station, I was WTTW. I was tasked with finding their replacements, and I thought the replacements were kind of boring. So I brought this segment, Dog of the Week, to life. I thought it would be a better segment for the show if it had real characters involved with it. And I cast Mike Haggerty as a Chicago Union projectionist, a guy who every time we came to him, he's asleep in a projection booth. He's eating Cheetos. And of course, the Union in Chicago didn't love that portrayal.
Right.
But Mike was on the replacement show with Jeffrey Lyons and Neil Gabler that replaced Siskel and Ebert. And I cast him as the Union projectionist. And every week we'd say, so Moose, what have you got up there in the way of bad movies? And he played Moose, the Union Production. So that's how long I've known Mike. And I just asked him if he would do this, because if you've gone through Second City, you definitely have an interest in and knowledge of Chicago politics.
Right. Absolutely. You know, the first thing that came to mind, John, while I was watching this is just how almost like granular or silly the Rostenkowski postage stamp scandal seems compared to what is happening now. And that was a major scandal back in the early 90s. And that just gives you an idea of the corruption overall in politics today. But I mean, how did you even know where to start? I mean, you go through all the governors. Blagojevich was the most depressing to watch. I mean, talk about a clueless guy.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm glad you mentioned Rostenkowski, because I had to get him in this somehow.
Yeah.
And so we basically just, we threw him in there real quickly because he had stayed in that halfway house for prisoners. That was a hit job by the Republicans to get a powerful Democrat.
Right.
You know, the Dems do it to the Republicans do it to the Dems. Now, we had a hard time. I mean, if I showed you the list of all the people we left on the editing floor, but I don't know if you saw the statistic, you know, 2,500 convictions the feds have in Chicago politicians. I mean, there are so many people that get indicted all the time in Chicago, you know, and they're not necessarily elected officials. They're just government employees.
Right.
It's still rife with corruption. And what I really like is I made this film about 2.5 years ago. And now here we go. Two of the guys that I really singled out as potentially corrupt are being found corrupt. And I'm talking about Ed Burke and Mike Madigan. Burke is going to get a prison sentence, I'm certain. And I think Madigan's going to be found guilty as well. He hasn't gone to trial yet, but he's got to be sweating bullets after seeing what happened to Ed Burke. And, you know, Chicago citizens have put up with these guys for 50 years apiece. That's how long they've been in power. They stayed at the trough too long.
Yeah.
And they got caught.
This is kind of embarrassing, but when I was in college at DePaul University, Edward Doliak came and spoke, and he was a really, I mean, his nickname was Fast Eddie for a reason. That guy could talk and no one could pin him down on anything. And I remember a DePaul political professor came in and challenged him, and Verdoliak tore him apart. And I'm going into stand-up and I'm like, oh, he just took care of that heckler. I almost admired him. And it wasn't until years later where I thought, oh my gosh, this guy, and he went down too, right?
Oh, yeah. Twice convicted. He's done jail time twice. He thought a couple of years ago they weren't going to sentence him to jail time because he's an old man. They said, you can go to a prison hospital. And they put him in a prison hospital. So he's a two-time convicted felon. I'm afraid that Mike Madigan's going to, my opinion is, when all is said and done at his October trial, he's going to prison too. These guys are in their 80s.
Yeah, Ed Burke has got to be, is Ed Burke late 80s even? He seemed old when I was a kid.
Yeah. They just stayed thieving and stealing too long. And, you know, I think I point this out in the film. These aren't like West Coast and East Coast hippie Democrats. These are Chicago Dems. These are tough guys.
Yeah.
Man. And I point that out in the film. Don't confuse our Dems with Dems around the country. Our Dems are more like gangsters, you know.
Right.
I mean, I'm a liberal Dem, but Chicago was always, wow. What a show this is. You know?
Corruption's corruption. Yeah. I'll just share this too, because my great grandpa, Judge Peter Schwab, is the one who set the bail for the St. Valentine's Day Massacre shooters. He later got shot leaving the courthouse with his boss. So I'm fascinated with Chicago corruption, and we'll talk more about that. Can you hang for a few minutes, John?
Hey, Pete, that's a wonderful credential for you to have.
I love it. All right. John Davies is my guest. He's a TV producer and a very successful one. We'll be back with more than him. Mike Clemens coming up at 8:35. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area in hour number two, Zombie Cicadas, coming to a neighborhood near you. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.